This piece was brought to you by Roberta's. Roberta'sPizza.com.
Hey, what's up? This is Jack Inslee, host of Full Service Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this show, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, and welcome to Season 2 of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. My column, Ask a Clean Person, appears on Deadspin.com. Before I introduce today's guest, a word of warning that today's episode will contain adult material. So if you're listening to this in the car with your kids or like you're my mom, this is a good time to tune out. With that, I am super excited to tell you guys that my guest today is Maureen O'Connor. Hi, Maureen.
Hey.
Maureen is New York Magazine's sex columnist and a contributor at The Cut. So I bet you guys can guess already what we are going to be talking about today. Maureen lives in Brooklyn, and despite being a 30-year-old female, her cleaning skills have been compared to those of a teenage frat boy an alarming number of times. I appreciate that this has been more than once, Maureen.
Like every time someone enters my home. Yeah.
And you and I have talked about this. Like, we've emailed about this. So.
With great franticness. It's crazy to me because I read your column and I like have synthesized all this knowledge about how to clean. And yet I've like never.
It's purely
theoretical knowledge for me.
But you have the knowledge.
So. Much like a virgin who imagines what sex is like. That's how I imagine cleaning. I'm
going
to be so helpful on this show.
I'm so excited. Well, you are because you're going to be fun. And I want fun people.
And I so many messes.
Yeah, you do. You do. I mean, we could devote an entire season to like the questions and stories just of Maureen.
Like, you know the airing of all my anxieties. Yeah. I think that is my job, actually.
Well, it is. It really is. So here's the other thing. In addition to being generally awesome, even though she's not clean, that's totally fine. Totally fine by me. Maureen, in a recent Sex Lives column, which is her column at The Cut. She recently wrote an article for that column called The Complicated Politics of Where to Come. Maureen is also one of the hosts of New York Magazine's Sex Lives podcast, which is wildly entertaining. And I really recommend that you all go and subscribe to that. I listen to it at the gym and I laugh like a moron on the treadmill. Like I'm one of those people who's like, whoa! And I realize that no one knows what I'm laughing at. Cause it's,
you know, a surprising number of people tell me that they always listen at the gym,
yeah.
But I can't figure out. I mean, I guess it's just where people listen to podcasts.
It's where I listen to podcasts in general. Yeah.
Yeah, if there's some like connection of like physical exertions and wanting to think about sex, motivate yourself to exercise really hard.
Maybe.
No, I don't think so. I'm just making.
I don't know. I mean, just for me, it's just where I listen to podcasts because it's. I find it makes the time go by faster.
I know that's like the only value in exercise. Anything that makes the time go faster.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all.
So,
that matters.
I will tell you, people. And I love this. People often tell me that they listen to my podcast while they're cleaning. Which
this
I think is perfect.
One.
I'm like, you know, that's actually like, you know, it's like 30 to 45 minutes. It's like just exactly the right amount of time for like scrubbing the bath. I mean, scrubbing the bathroom probably shouldn't take you 45 minutes, but like
mine would.
Because you have other.
You know,
problems.
It's the equivalent of people like watching an exercise video while exercising. You know, that kind of thing. It must be like they listen to the cleaning to motivate more cleaning.
Exactly. Okay, so but back to this. The politics of where to come.
Yeah.
So one of your podcast episodes was also dedicated to this article that you wrote. I had read the article and I also listened to the podcast. And I found when I was listening to the podcast at the gym on the treadmill that I was practically like shouting out loud. Like I wanted to talk back to you guys because a lot of the anecdotes that you included in the article about where women want or don't want men to come involved issues around laundry.
Absolutely.
And I was so excited because like I feel like Maureen and I actually more often than anyone would think what we do overlaps quite a lot.
It actually does.
It does.
It's the amount of stuff especially when I started interviewing people about their sex lives all the time, you sort of there's an assumption that it's going to be like really like porny and erotic and great, but like a huge number of the considerations people have about sex is actually so purely practical.
Yeah.
You know, about how you fit it into your life, into your daily schedule, or how to get around the awkwardness and how to deal with messes.
Yeah, absolutely. And sex is messy, and that's good. It should be, in part because that's, I think, part of what makes it fun. And then also because it allows me to do this job.
Yeah, and like,
yeah, I like it when people, I like it when people
can't do
make
it without
messes.
A mess. Yeah, yeah, no,
I like it when people make messes because then it keeps me in a job. And
absolutely.
I, as I'm fond of saying, I love this job. So you know, there, I encourage the messier the sex, the better. Plus, it gives me really, really good brunch stories.
Oh yeah,
I have great brunch stories because I get emails, right? I get crazy stories.
What's the weirdest sex stain?
Oh, it has to be the jizz cleaner. The jizz cleaner. Oh my God, wait, I can't believe you don't know about the jizz cleaner. This is so,
no.
It's like, so early on when I first started writing Ask a Clean Person, and actually I love this because it's gonna dovetail a tiny bit with one of the questions that we have.
Awesome.
I started writing Ask a Clean Person for a women's interest site called The Hairpin.
Right.
And I think you've written for The Hairpin too. I think maybe we overlapped at The Hairpin. And before I moved over to Deadspin. And when I was at The Hairpin, one of the great things about writing for The Hairpin, in addition to just being a great site, was that the demographic was younger than the demographic at Deadspin. And so therefore their questions were wilder just by dint of the fact that these were, you know, sort of the under 35 women who are very single.
You're like still learning how to be an adult.
Yeah.
And you're like,
and
is this normal? I don't know.
Yeah. And they were still really partying, so which and you know, and having the sex that goes along with partying. And so I just got these wild stories. But yeah, one of the stories I got was a girl who was moving in with her boyfriend. They were consolidating furniture, and one thing that he was really adamant about keeping, that she was fine with him keeping, was his Lazy Boy recliner. But unfortunately, he had used it as like his spank palace, and the arm.
I know,
so
this is all coming back,
coming back to
me, like a horrible nightmare. Keep going.
And so, and he would ejaculate on one of the arms. It was like one specific side, and it was just like this matted.
Young men are disgusting.
They are so gross, but young women are disgusting too.
Actually. Yes, this is true. They're all gross.
Everyone is gross. And so she wrote to me, and she was like, "Listen, I'm happy for him to keep the recliner, but I gotta clean it, and what do I do?" And so then it, you know, it turned into this, like, we called it the jizz cleaner and blah blah blah. So yeah, that was definitely the,
if people could see the look on my face,
I know, you're
right,
horrified
now.
Right now. You're horrified. Although that's not like the biggest disaster, which I'm gonna actually save the biggest disaster for when I have you come back, because I want to not spend so much time talking about jizz cleaners and
but all the new jizz cleaners,
the new jizz cleaners. I want to talk very specifically about just regular old semen on regular old sheets. I want to read a little snippet from your article, The Complicated Politics of Where to Come, because it's gonna just lead us perfectly into our two reader questions. So here is a little piece from Maureen's article in New York Magazine. A successful sexual encounter will require many negotiations, some conducted explicitly, others through gesture and subtext. And while many negotiations are more fraught than where to come, few occur with such speed and urgency or practical ramifications. And this is now a quote from a friend of Maureen's. "I let him do it on me because I don't like doing laundry," my friend Anne said of blowjobs conducted in bed, "but I already shower. And though sex may require the management of any number of fluids from people of any gender, this column will deal with the fluid that comes out of a penis during unprotected sex. This is a column about cum and where it lands." So I picked that little part because I think it's a perfect example of sort of how Maureen and I have, in a weird way, very similar jobs as a sex columnist and advice columnist. So for Maureen, where cum lands leads to an examination of sexual politics. And for me, we should probably just go straight to the reader question to see how this plays out in my world. So let's start. We're going to start with question one from reader Taffy. And then I'm actually going to read question two right after. And we'll answer them together because they're very similar. One is Taffy as a woman. The second question is from a man. I'm not going to identify who it is because it's actually one of my colleagues at Deadspin.
Is it someone I know?
I don't think so. I don't think so. After the show, I'll tell you who it is. I'm pretty sure you don't know who it is. And I can't say anymore because it might out who this person is. But I'll tell a little story before I read question two about sort of when this question came in. So question one from reader Taffy. Actually, you know what, Maureen? I'm going to have you read it.
Oh.
Is that okay?
I would love to. So here I am as reader Taffy. Taffy writes, I have two white pillow shams with pink on the ruffles.
And women always provide the little decorative details in their notes. It's great.
So each of these pillows has a stain in the middle of them. I think it is from Astroglide or some sex juices, perhaps. The stain has gotten worse as I've tried to clean it. I put Clorox gel straight on it and it turned them an icky yellow. These are gorgeous shams. I don't know what to do. Help.
All right. So I'm going to help Taffy. All right. So now I'm going to tell you a little bit about question two before we read it. So as I mentioned, it came from one of my colleagues at Deadspin. He sent it to me. So I've now been at Deadspin for almost 3 years.
Wow.
Which is crazy to me. I can't believe
time passes super fast. Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, I've been writing Ask a Clean Person for almost 5 years now. It's crazy to me.
So many
never
messes.
Never run out of questions. It's great. So I'd probably been at Deadspin for less than 6 months when this guy wrote to me. I thought the question was such a good one, but it's also really funny because there's such a humble brag in it. And it's really funny to me that my Deadspin colleagues were kind of like, they were like,
chest bragging.
They were like chest thumping a little bit to like email me and be like, yeah,
it's like the mess version of a humble brag.
Yeah. It's really funny.
Should I read this one too? I'll read it in the voice of an arrogant male.
Yeah, read it in your Deadspin voice. I was going to do my Deadspin voice, but I want to hear your voice.
Yours no. Now I have performance anxiety.
Oh, no. Don't worry
about it. Hi, Julie. I see you've addressed various bedding stains on the hairpin and maybe elsewhere, so forgive me if this is old material, but I wonder if you could explain to Deadspin how to deal with lady-originating sex stains on, say, my bright red comforter. Am I the only dumb dude who thought these were either male-originating or thin-air-originating until I was at least 25? They seem tricky to pre-treat with one of them stain sticks because A, that's not really sexy, polite move right after the fact, and B, how are you supposed to know which little spots of liquid are going to turn bright white 2 days from now? I've tried dousing them with Tide before tossing it in the washer, which seems effective but not foolproof. I think this is because the comforter is such a tight fit in the washer that it generally gets rinsed and nice smelling, but not every inch of fabric gets full exposure. So I think what we're saying, the humble brag embedded in this is the lady originating sex stains.
That's it.
Hey.
I just thought that was so funny. I don't mind it. I just thought it was really funny. Well, I'm glad that you want to make sure that I know that your woman is happy with you. And congratulations. And you know what? Actually, I am glad that he included that detail because I'm glad that it's important to my male colleagues that they're partners are sexually satisfied.
I have to say, identifying where the sex mess originated is actually a more difficult prospect than
it is. It is. And actually, thank you for saying that, because that actually leads me right into
I know. I'm like, was that my vagina, or was that you drooling everywhere?
Yeah. So here's the very first point I wanted to make, which is it actually really doesn't matter which part it came out of. So female and male ejaculate, while it's not the same, obviously, because women don't have sperm. I guess thank God for that. Functionally speaking, from a stain removal point of view, they're the same thing.
So democratizing.
Exactly. So they're not technically the same substance, but from a stain removal point of view, you can treat them as the same thing. And actually, that's true, even if, and I don't buy the science of this, I think that this is bad male science trying to shame women, and I don't like it, not one bit. Even if it's true that women squirting is actually women peeing, I don't believe that. But even if
this is
true.
This is such a big issue for me, and we are literally waiting every single issue of New York Magazine to go, can I do the squirting column? Can I do the squirting column? And it's that thing where they're like, when you're ready, and I am totally, totally agree with you, it is not pee.
It's not.
I'm going to prove this.
Okay, good.
World.
I'm glad you're going to prove this. None of you can see us. Maureen and I are just violently pointing at each other right now. We're so
squirting
into
as we speak. Yeah. Just kidding. I'm not. It'd be unsanitary.
Okay, so here's the thing. Even if it is pee, which it's not, but if it were,
yes,
from a stain removal point of view, you would also treat it the same way. So all of those things, urine, female ejaculate, male ejaculate, are all fall into the category of the protein stain, which is probably, yes, you probably just had a little light bulb go on and remember that turn of phrase from a million Ask a Clean Person.
I think this is the number one thing I've learned from Ask a Clean Person is the concept of the protein stain.
Such exactly.
A like during a hookup, a guy would be like, oh no, I mean, protein stain.
Protein stain.
Go get your OxyClean.
That's right.
I just gave it away.
Yes. Yes. I knew you knew
not
it.
That I don't even own OxyClean, but I'm going to buy you some OxyClean. It's a protein stain. I'm not going to do anything about it, but I know.
I'm going to buy you some OxyClean as a thank you for being on this show. So that's
I will never break the seal.
Yeah. So that's exactly it. So you, when you have any, and this is actually like my rule of thumb that I love saying, you probably won't remember this one too, that as a basic rule of thumb that makes things easy to remember, if it comes out of you, it is a protein stain. So that's mm-hmm. true of blood. That's true of breast milk.
Ah.
Yeah. It's true of vomit.
And like cow milk.
Yeah.
All milks. Yes.
and baby formula actually also is a protein stain. So even though baby formula doesn't come out of you. So those are all the protein stains. But that's a good one to remember. It's like sort of just a basic, easy rule of thumb. If it comes out of you, it's probably a protein stain. Probably the best way to treat that is going to be either with the use of an oxygenated bleach like OxyClean or with an enzymatic stain remover.
Mm.
And in the case of the duvet cover, the duvet. Because it's an item that's difficult to launder, spot treating with an enzymatic spray stain remover is probably going to be that guy's best bet.
What are the like?
So here's
what's
a couple.
Enzymatic
here's
spray?
A couple of brands for you. I wrote them down.
Good. I was like,
that I don't know them, but like I like to do my research and be very, very thorough.
Yes. What should
so
I look
here
for?
Are three. There's one called Zout, Z-O-U-T.
I have seen this.
Yes. That's just a spray laundry pretreatment product. Very good. Very, very good. Heavily enzymatic. Works very well. Nature's Miracle is another one. Nature's Miracle is a pet stain.
Weirdly sexy?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's kind of like an orgasm. Nature's Miracle.
I don't know. Yeah, in like sort of a hippy dippy way, I suppose, you know?
So Nature's Miracle is a product that's designed for pet messes, but works equally well in human messes.
Because we're all animals.
We're all animals. That's right. A friend of mine, this is a weird tangent. A friend of mine once told me he hates clipping his fingernails because it reminds him that he's an animal. And I was like, that's such an interesting and odd way of thinking about life. But okay, I get it. Anyway, and the last one to mention, this is a very good brand. There's a brand of all natural, green, eco-friendly cleaning mm-hmm. products called BioClean.
Ah.
And they have a stain treatment product called Backout. B-A-C-O-U-T, back out.
Also sexy.
Yeah. Back in and back out. So those are your products. This is actually a great time for us to take a very quick break and then come back and talk a little more specifically about that pillow sham and what I want that woman to do. And then I want to talk a little bit more about the guy's comforter. And I have some suggestions on that. And then
so many more details about like when to spray, how to.
Yeah, we're going to get into all of that
so
stuff.
Much more information.
We're going to get into all of that stuff. And then if we have time, which I'm guessing we might not even, I want to talk a little bit about sheet changing etiquette when you have multiple partners. So Maureen and I will be back in just a minute with some more smut talk and we'll finish answering those reader questions. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Thank you.
And today's break song, courtesy of the one and only Rectech. This is Meeting at the Docks. We'll be back shortly.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Here's what Heritage Radio Network would sound like without donations. It's not as good as the show you were just listening to, is it? Give us a few bucks. Help keep us running. HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Click the donate tab on the top right corner.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr, and my guest today is New York Magazine sex columnist Maureen O'Connor.
Hello.
Hi, Maureen. We've been talking about cum stains. What else would we be talking about?
What else?
Yeah, naturally.
And lady-originating sex stains.
And lady-originating, exactly. So the thing is, the other reason I kind of wanted to include that question from the Deadspin colleague is that I wanted to point out something, and it's something that you know because you've been reading the column for a long, long time, is that the sex stain is my bread and butter. the sex stain is essentially what Ask a Clean Person has been built on. And right. I realized that when I was putting the show together, that when I debuted Ask a Clean Person on the Hairpin, I don't think it was the first column. I think it was the second column that I ever ran included a question about cum stains. And I was just like, you know what? I'm setting the tone for what this is going to be.
Yeah.
Like, this is not, you know, no disrespect to any of the cleaning advice columnists who came before me. They're all wonderful and pioneers, and I learned so much from them. But, like, I am not Heloise, right? I am very, very definitely not. And that's a lot of why, of the attitude that informed the book title.
Yeah.
About differentiation. Not that I don't, like, love and worship Martha Stewart, because of course I do. But,
you know,
like,
she totally has weird sex. I mean, she's gotta.
I mean, let's talk a minute about Martha Stewart's sex
oh,
life.
Really?
Because in her AMA, that
oh
she
goodness.
Did predicated on the on my book coming out, because it's Things You Can't Ask Martha. She
yeah.
did an Ask Me Anything.
Ask the thing. Oh my goodness.
Which was an interesting experience for me. She talked about sex,
uh-huh.
and she said that you should take a bath. I think it was before and after, and I
oh
was
God.
Just like, Martha.
Oh, okay, so the people that, like, must shower a million times, people, either they're gonna have the worst sex in the world because they're really afraid of bodies, or they're gonna have the weirdest,
the
like
weirdest,
craziest, kinkiest, because they've got a crazy shame complex.
Yeah,
and sometimes it turns into, like, weird hot insanity.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways,
I think that's
theory.
Another topic for you.
I don't know which
to
way explore. Martha's going to go.
Anyway, so there you go. There's what I know about Martha Stewart.
Oh, juicy.
Sex life. Yeah, it was very, very juicy. So that second column at the Hairpin involved the cum scenes. And then when I moved over to Deadspin, the mm-hmm. very first column that I did, I included a question about cum stains. And this was a very weird and specific one that was about cum stains on gloves, because people will come on and in anything. And I actually thought it was a fake question, which I said, but I was like,
he was wearing a glove when he masturbated, or he was masturbating with a normal hand.
It was a woman who was jacking off. I was like, but wait, wouldn't that be like itchy or
wait, she was wearing the glove while she jacked the guy off.
That was why I thought it was a fake question.
Whoa. You know, there was one, the weirdest thing is, this is very profound, actually, this realization that, like, messes and sex end up being having a weird level of overlap.
Yes.
And I think it's because they're the things that happen in the sheer privacy of your home. And it's the thing that happens, like, masturbation ends up so weird because it's a thing you discover in complete isolation.
Yes.
At, like, a young age. You're just going with what feels right. That also basically explains the patterns of our messes, right? That it's, like, the really, really profound reflection of, like, this is where I stand when I barf. This is the thing, you know, that...
Yeah. I never really thought about that.
There's some element. I mean, granted, there are messes that come from, you know, socialization and stuff.
Yeah,
but, like,
yes,
the messes you're most ashamed of are when you're like, I eat in my bed and there's Cheetos everywhere.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Which I hear about that all the time. Here's the thing. I actually don't mind when people eat in the bed. Here's the one thing. If I can ask people to never, ever do one thing in the bed, don't burnish your fingernails in bed. I have gotten more, which was not what you were not expecting that at all. It's like the most innocuous thing, but I have gotten more sad emails about ruined bedding from people who are varnishing their fingernails in
bed. Wait, Julie, where are you from that the vernaculars varnish your fingernails?
Oh, God, I know. My grandma. Everyone's...
I mean, I love it.
I don't know where that came from, and everyone makes fun of me, and I can't kick it. But yeah, varnishing your... And I also
I've never wanted to varnish my fingernails in bed until you said it that way, and now it sounds really charming.
Don't do it, Maureen. Don't do it. I also sometimes call it fingernail lacquer.
Oh, my God.
I don't you know what? Weird... Well, of course, I'm a weird person. Like, look what I do for a living.
It makes it sound more like I'm like polishing a car or something, and it makes me want to do it.
See? It's better, right? Just don't do it in bed.
Speaking of food in bed, though, okay. The worst, I went through this pattern, I still go through this pattern of drunkenly eating Flaming Hot Cheetos, and I have to say, the most catastrophic hungover wake up was the day I woke up and I turned and my pillow was covered in like red drool. And I was like, oh my God, I've been like bleeding. What's happening? It was Flaming Cheeto drool.
Yeah.
Gross as fuck.
Oh, Maureen, that hurt.
I finally grossed you out. You know I got it.
Yeah, you did. No, you know what? I'm grossed out. I'm going to admit something gross to you. The reason I'm grossed out is that I had this like a flicker of recognition for me in this. And I admitted this last season and I gave the same caveat and I'm going to give it again. I don't want any emails from anyone chastising me about my Crystal Light habit. All right. Listen, I love my Crystal Light. I know it's bad. I'm not going to stop. Okay.
Why
end of story.
Bad?
Because it's Splenda. No, it's Splenda. So anyway, but I drink
whatever.
Crystal Light.
That's just bullshit, actually.
I'm a Crystal Light fiend, right? Mm-hmm. Like some gals are the Diet Coke fiends. Maureen's drinking a Diet Coke
I'm on
right
my
now.
Second one right now.
Yeah, I noticed that there are two cans here. I was like, where
whatever.
Are
I don't smoke cigarettes.
That's
I mean,
fine.
Give
it's
me
fine.
A break.
It's fine.
I drink diet soda.
Drink the diet soda. I drink the Crystal Light, and I always bring a glass to bed with me at night, and I drink red Crystal Light.
You've
and
got the sometimes, Hot Cheeto drool.
Sometimes when I wake up in the morning, there's like a little pink like tinge because I've been drooling Crystal Light.
See, it's like really intimate.
It's very intimate. Okay, let's get back to these intimate.
Wait, side note, the drool thing though, when I read this story, the woman who said that there were protein stains on her pillow shams, right?
Yes.
Which they definitely were because they were turning yellow in bleach.
I love that you just said that. I was actually just about to be like, I'm gonna explain how I know that the yellow stains were not from her lube, and I do know that they're from
her
bodily fluids. And but you already got it.
Isn't it more likely that she's just drooling in her sleep than like her vagina squirting a bullseye in her pillow every time?
I actually think so. That's a
saliva will also be a protein stain, right?
I just looked over and our engineer Jack is like he was doing like a Muppety gesture, like flinging himself around the engineering booth because he's laughing so hard at this.
Unless maybe she's as I often read in Cosmo magazine, the advice to put the pillow under your butt while you're like fucking. Maybe she's one of those.
Maybe she's doing that. So here, I actually had the same response to I had exactly the same response as both. One, I know it's a protein
stain.
That's
a drooler.
Let me explain why yes, we know that. Because yes. You have the benefit of being a very dedicated Ask a Clean Person.
Really
my God, you probably know more than I do at this point. So the one thing that you don't want to use on any kind of protein stain. So that's ejaculate. That's urine. That's drool. Your drool, if it comes out of you, it's protein. So your drool is protein. Is bleach. And the reason for that is that bleach has a chemical reaction with protein stains that actually the bleach will cause those protein stains to look more yellow. So that will make them worse, which is just really sad, I think. Like, poor bleach. You know? Poor bleach means well. Can't win. The eco people hate it. The protein stains hate it. Poor bleach. So in any event, so don't use bleach on any kind of protein stain situations. So when Reader Taffy said that she put the Clorox gel on, that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. And that's why Maureen and I know that. Quick side note on lube. Later this season on Ask a Clean Person, the podcast, I am going to have guests on from the Sweet Home, which tests all manner of domestic household products. I will have those guests on to be discussing both laundry detergent and lube. They're going to be testing lubes.
I can't wait for that episode.
I know, for best lubes. And so also on that episode, I'll talk a little bit about lube stains and how you remove those. But that's not what Taffy's problem is. Taffy's problem is that she's got these shams. They had protein stains. She accidentally bleached them. Oh my God, too sad, too bad. Hope is not lost. In her case, what I want her to do is I want her to use the OxyClean. And I want her to use the powdered OxiClean. I want her to fill her kitchen sink or a utility sink or a utility bucket or the bathtub, or if she has her own washing machine, I want her to fill the drum up of the washing machine if she can do that, if it's not one of those HE machines. I want her to put a scoop of OxiClean into it and dissolve that, and I want her to soak those pillowcases. And I want her to soak those pillowcases for at least an hour. I would prefer she soak them for 12 hours, so overnight. Yeah. 8 to 12 overnight.
Once you're already soaking, I mean, go to sleep.
It's hands off. It's
although
hands
she
off.
Needs her pillows back.
Well, it's just a shamp. No, I just want her to do the shams.
Yes.
Yeah. That is probably going to remove those stains, and she can launder the shams as usual, and she'll be good to go.
The Oxy then can rid of that horrible yellow stain when you accidentally cause one.
It should. It should reverse it. Yeah, it should. And actually, there's a newer Oxy product on that I've just recently started using, and I am in love with it. It is called OxiClean White Revive. Oxy White and something. Look for the whites.
The realization.
The one for whites. And it is excellent. I mean, I noticed our pillow shams were starting to get a little dingy around the center. Mm-hmm. We don't sleep on them because they're our sham, right? They're our decorative sham. But, we'll lean against them if we're, sitting in bed watching a movie or something.
You know, in addition to being clean, I also think that you follow, an etiquette of, I was like, yeah, you never sleep on a pillow. I don't even know what the difference between, what's the difference between a sham and a pillowcase? Am I supposed to be taking something off of my pillow every night? I have no idea what's going on. It's like going to the bridal shower. I'm like, really great.
Mm-hmm. Look at that Tupperware.
That special one. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that's going to solve Tavi's problem, and after the show, I'm going to explain to Maureen what a pillow sham is. But this is not Ask a Linen Expert. It's Ask a Clean Person. I want to spend more time on that comforter. I think we're going to get some time to talk about sheet changing etiquette with multiple partners, which is a question that I was asked that I answered for Jezebel when I was still writing Ask a Clean Person to Jezebel. And it was really interesting to see the difference in response. Some readers were totally like, yeah, I get this and you go, girl. And some were just so horrified. It was a really, really, which I knew was going to happen, but it was really interesting to see how it broke down. So a couple of things for this guy in particular, I think he should use with the comforter. I think he should use Zout or Nature's Miracle or Backout BioClean. And I think that what he should do is spray it on the comforter. Get a dry rag, a dish rag or old t-shirt is fine, an old towel.
A glove.
And I think he should sort of work the cleaner into the stain a bit, let it sit. And then I think he should go back and wet that same rag and kind of tamp at it to remove the spray treatment that he used. And that's kind of it. If it's in a spot that it's not super awkward to do this, he can also just flush that portion with water, and that will work. I think if he's trying to wash the comforter in a machine that's not big enough for it, he's going to just keep encountering those same problems. The other thing he can do is he can certainly, I know where this person lives, and I'm not going to say it because it will totally out him, but I know he lives in a place where there are a lot of laundromats around. He can just take the thing down to the laundromat and use one of the oversized
machines. Okay, so now I know he's a New Yorker.
Maybe. Perhaps.
I'm going to out this man.
No, you're not going to out this man. You're not going to out this man. And it's not one of the good ones. It's not, that's the thing. It's not, if it were one of the good ones.
What are the good ones? What does that mean?
Well, I can't say the good ones because I think it was a process of elimination. But man, it's not one of the ones you'd be psyched to make fun of on the podcast. Oh, that's what I mean. Yeah. It's just one of the nice ones.
I still have my gossip reporting instincts. Yeah. As you can see.
Yeah, exactly. So that would be kind of my prescription for him for laundering the thing. But I actually also think that if he is a person who is this frequently having sex on top of his comforter,
You should get a little comforter cover.
Then I think you should get a duvet cover.
Yeah.
Because those are launderable. And it does
look more linen lessons for me.
There
comforter
you go.
Comforter cover thing, duvet.
There you go. Yes, the duvet
I've always
cover.
Wondered which part was the duvet.
It's the thing that goes over.
So the duvet is the comforter, but the duvet cover is the
yes.
sack-like thing that it's always like scrunched up in.
Yes, that everyone God. Hates putting on. I have a trick for that. But
I've seen you demonstrate this trick.
It's so visual that I can't like podcast it, but I'll try to do a video.
I have to say the number one reason to have a boyfriend on the planet is getting the comforter and the duvet cover. Like that's just the one thing that when you're single is so damn hard.
I'm going to teach you the trick. You'll never need a boyfriend again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's great.
Julia's liberated me. This I'm so excited.
This is basically, I'm now realizing like my new goal in life is to just like keep everyone single always. That's what I want. I want to
this
teach everyone
inspiring.
To be so independent. I want men to be so independent with cleaning that they don't even need a woman. And they don't need a woman around with her hair messing things up. I hear the men hate the hair.
You know, hair
men
is,
get very upset about the hair.
It's its own thing.
It's its own thing. That's a whole other show. Thank really, you. I could do a whole season just with you, Maureen. okay, so the duvet cover brings us, I think, nicely into this.
Yes.
I want to ask, I'm going to put you on the spot because you, mm-hmm. you write very openly and honestly about your own life,
yes.
your own sex and dating life in the column. You talk about it quite often on the podcast. I love that you do that
mm-hmm.
because you are just, you're... You have no shame. I don't mean this in a bad way.
I have no shame.
I realized
shame.
That I was about
no,
to say.
No, no, no.
Yeah,
I have no
that
shame.
That it was going to sound like a bad thing, but I mean it in a good way. That you just
thank you.
You are not ashamed at all. And I think that that's wonderful. And I think that that's how people should be. I'm old and married, so I have no fun stories to tell anymore. But when I was single, I had that attitude too. So I love it. So I mentioned this article that I wrote for Jezebel.
Yeah.
It was a question. A woman who had gone through a breakup. Recovered and then was going through a phase very happily where she was notching her bedpost. And that's mm-hmm. exactly how she put it. And she was like, sometimes I have, you know, more than one gentleman caller.
Varnishing.
Varnishing his fingernails in my four poster
new
bed.
Euphemism.
On my makeup or my jams. No, and she was like, you know, sometimes I have more than one partner a week, and do I have to, I'm sorry if this is really gross that I'm even asking, but do I have to change my sheets between each guy? And my take on it was, I can't tell you if you have to or if you don't have to. I can just give you some ways of thinking about the question so that mm-hmm. you can answer it for yourself. And the reason that I can't answer it is because you're a stranger to me. I would never presume to make choices for you
what?
About your sex life, nor would I make choices for you about mm-hmm. your linen care. That would be wildly this presumptuous
is,
of me.
This is what I also like about your column, though, is that you give us all the information, but you don't say you must.
Never.
You're a filthy person for not doing this. You say, well, if you would like to make that yellow stain go away, here's what you do.
Exactly.
And I can take all that information and say, I will never act on this, and I will live in my filth with my yellow stains.
Because it doesn't bother
but
you.
Thank you. I'm glad to have this knowledge.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. We don't all care about the same things.
Yes.
And we don't have to care about the same things. You don't have to care about what I care about any more than I have to care about what you care about.
It's
right?
beautiful.
So
America.
My attitude always with the column is I'm here to help if you want it.
Yes.
But I'm not here to pass.
I appreciate that.
Thank you. I'm not here to pass judgment. I'm not here to give unsolicited advice. It's one of the reasons that the column has always been a Q&A in the first place, mm-hmm. because I was like, I don't want to just be out there on the internet telling people when to wash their sheets. That would be.
But wait, what was
that's not who I am either.
What was the information you gave her to contextualize?
Okay, so here's what it was.
Sheet cleaning.
I was like, I had a couple of questions, and I was like, mm-hmm. ask yourself these questions, and depending on what the answers are, you will know what your answer is. So one of the questions is, how would you feel if the sheets were reversed? How would you feel if you went to someone's house for a hookup, and then you found out mm-hmm. that 3 days before, some other girl had been on those same sheets. They hadn't been washed in between. Would it bother you? So there you go. You answer. But a lot of people were like, oh, yeah, that would bother me. So
I mean, I do
those
expect
people,
higher standards of cleanliness from the people I fuck than from myself because I'm just a really hypocritical person.
That's fine. I'm
but
into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I don't give. Yeah. I don't care. Anyways, okay. So keep going. I'm going to keep answering these. Yeah,
so that was one of the questions. Then another one of the questions was, would you not want the partner A to know that partner B is in the picture? Meaning, are you hiding?
Okay, well, that's like situational.
Which is situational, yeah. Exactly. So, but that's one of the things. So if you're in a situation where you don't want partner an affair, A to know about
use your OxyClean so yeah. he doesn't see the protein stain.
Change the sheets in between because people will leave behind not just protein stains, but, you know, hairs or, you know, blah, blah.
Evidence.
Evidence, exactly.
Wait, wasn't there some like emo song when we were like teenagers, screaming infidelities. The hair in the bed revealed the infidelities. God, what was that? Death
I was not a teenager when
Death
you were a teenager.
Really? I thought we were the same age.
No,
anyways.
We were definitely not the same age.
All
right. We'll talk about that.
Well, you look great,
too.
Girl.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so those were some of the questions. It's just like, think about how you feel about this, and then you'll know. Mm-hmm. And then I also gave some shortcuts. If you decided that the answer, this is what you're going to love, I feel like.
Yes.
I feel like maybe you won't use any of them, but I feel like you're going to really like them. So these were the tricks that I had for people who wanted to trick one partner into thinking that there were clean sheets.
This is exactly what I need.
Exactly. So there are tricks and there are also some shortcuts. So so one of the tricks, and actually this goes nicely back to your Flaming Hot Cheetos and my Crystal Light confessional, was to change your pillowcases.
Mm.
So
and those get gross faster.
And the reason for that is that it will make, if you have fresh pillowcases on, it looks like all of the sheets are fresh.
Yeah.
They're very cheap to buy, so you can stock up on like a couple of extra sets of them, and they're small to store. Mm-hmm. So like I have no storage space in my home, so that's an issue for me around having a lot of sheets, but I can have a bunch of extra pillowcases because they're very small. They don't take up storage space, and they also are very easy to launder. They don't take up a lot of room in the laundry.
Smart.
So that was one of the tricks.
And you can have extra shams too.
There you go. One of the other tricks was when you're making the bed, and I mean, I do this every day anyway when I make my bed, but a lot of people don't think of it. When you're making the bed, take all of the, pull all, the top sheet and the covers all the way back, remove the pillows, and pull the bottom sheet taut and retuck it.
Mm.
And then kind of smooth it with your hands. That's going to make it look a little bit less rumpled and a little bit more like a fresh sheet went on there. It also, doing that allows you to brush away any stray hairs that might be in there. Oh. So that was one other. And then the last one that really is like sort of the like super cheaty trick is to use linen spray.
Ooh.
Linen spray, which is basically just water that's been a little bit scented with like an essential oil.
It smells like laundry.
Yeah, you can buy it. There are a lot of brands that make it. One brand I really like is called Drea, but there are plenty of brands of linen spray out there on the market.
I don't like this solution, I have to say. This strikes me as the like scented maxi pad solution.
It may be a little bit.
You're
but
just adding those, but scent to scent.
No. But there's another thing that it does.
Okay.
And here's what it does. And actually, you can just do. You can DIY it with water and essential oil. Uh-huh. You could do this just with water if you don't even want any scent on there. But here's what it's going to do. One, it's going to put a little bit of a scent on, so it makes it smell like it's freshly laundered linens, which you now have told me you don't like. But the other thing is that little spritz of the water when you then remake the bed and you pull the sheets taut, it will eliminate wrinkles and it will actually make the bedding look like it hasn't been
slept
in.
Like, you know, like when you're steaming your whatever.
Exactly.
Evaporating water makes things not wrinkle. Oh, these are so good.
Yeah. So see, I got you on the linen spray.
You did. Now I'm pro scented maxi pad.
Now she's a convert. On that note, Maureen, I cannot believe this. It's time to go.
This I've had so by, much fun.
I know, I did too. Let's do this always.
I know. Now you're going to come on my podcast, and we're just going to do it again.
I really hope so, because we have a lot more to talk about.
We have so much more to talk about.
We have to talk about period sex.
Oh my God! And Julie, we haven't even talked about the fact that for a week straight now, there's been a little piece of dried up vomit on my balcony, and I can't bring myself to deal with it. And I'm actually not 30 anymore. I turned 31 this weekend and all my friends were over and there was a mysterious vomit and I haven't been able to deal with it. And I'm like, what do I need to do? Do I need a scraper? I need help now.
I think
now.
You need a scraper. And I think it's going to be painless, actually. I think it's going to be painless.
Oh my God. We haven't even we've barely even touched the level of my mess help.
I know. I'm going to just turn the show into the Julie and Maureen show is what I'm going to do. With that, a big, big thank you to my guest today, Maureen O'Connor of New York Magazine.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much to my engineers, Jack Inslee and Liz Smith, and to our sponsor, Roberta's Pizza. Today's music was provided by Rec Tech.
If you like what you heard today, and I hope you did, why wouldn't you have liked what you heard today? We were so funny. Please consider subscribing on iTunes, leaving a rating, and telling all of your pals about my weird little cleaning show that you love so much. And of course, thank you to you, my listeners, for joining me for another season, season two, woo, of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. Next up is a short clip of Gunwash.
Most taxidermists, no one is on the animal's side more than a taxidermist.
Right.
I mean, they're just obsessive.
Brant McDuff teaches listeners about taxidermy and all of its heroes on episode 149 of Gunwash.
When they were doing the Museum of Natural History and they were setting up the dioramas, there was one particular diorama that had these geese. And they set up the diorama. Someone's doing the background, like painting the background and setting up the plants. And, you know, they've got a botanist doing the plants. They've got the taxidermist setting the geese. They've got an artist painting the background. And all of a sudden, it's this big joke that the sun is in the wrong place for the direction that the geese are flying for the time of year portrayed by the foliage.
Yeah, but that's the Natural Museum of History. Wow.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. But that, right. I mean, most people walking by that would have no clue. But in the museum, of course, it's a huge show. You're like, hey, did you see which way the geese are flying?
Yeah,
isn't that awesome? Ridiculous.
So,
actually, so you know the mountain gorilla diorama, the Karalakali is buried in the exact spot in Africa that the gorilla diorama is showing.
So this guy, guy Carl
Ackley.
Ackley.
Yeah.
He's like tax. In other words,
or
tax.
Ackley, it's yeah.
It's debatable.
A leopard attacked him once, and he threw his arm in front of his head to protect his neck from getting bitten by the leopard. And so this leopard has his arm, and the only thing he can think to do, because he's not going to wrestle his arm away from a leopard, is he jams his fist further down the leopard's throat.
Right. Wow.
To try and suffocate him.
That's pure adrenaline.
And badass.
Yeah.
Punk rock. He was a tough guy. He'd been trampled by elephants, had like almost all of his bones broken by elephants. He taxidermied him, yeah, sent him off to a natural history museum. Yeah, it's funny because back, you know, now he's seen as this sort of god of natural history. You know, he's not a... Back then, it was very common practice for a museum to send their naturalist, to send their taxidermist off on these hunting expeditions to bring back specimens to put in the museum.
If you like weird radio like this, Gunwash is for you. All episodes available on heritageradionetwork.org and iTunes.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.